you do. Good to have your company. I'm Paul Gough. This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. And how could you not be in a good mood when your backing group, your guest themesters for this edition of the program, The Bamboos, one of the great funk soul bands out of Melbourne, a band who have inspired many other artists who aspire to play similar kinds of music. They've been around since, I think, 2006, when their album Step It Up came out. And, of course, they had released quite a few limited edition singles leading into that album. But it's a love of the group The Meters, for example, that have been the guiding star for The Bamboos, and who have gone on with Lance Ferguson at the helm to carve a very, very deep groove, a funky groove, throughout the streets of Melbourne and beyond. We heard there a track from the album, which was predominantly a collection of instrumentals, the track Golden Rough, our theme for today. But of course, the great vocalist Alice Russell contributed to that album. We'll hear something from The Bamboos towards the end of the program. Our focus today, though, is on the music of Alex Gow, a.k.a. Oh Mercy. What a fantastic musician he is. He is the recipient of last year's ARIA Award for Best Adult Contemporary Release for his album When We Talk About Love. I caught up with him a little while ago and am airing the interview now because his new album Cafe Oblivion will be out very soon, and we talk about what it means to win an ARIA and about what the process of recording this new album post-ARIA has meant to Alex. And of course, we'll hear lots of his music as well. But we started with The Bamboos and a track, Golden Rough, and it reminded me of a group from a few years ago now, from Sydney, called Golden Rough. Originally, they started out as a band to cover the artists that they adored, Willie Nelson, Elvis Costello and Graham Parsons. They started out in 95 and then, over time, started writing some really great tunes and releasing some really brilliant albums. Let's hear now from their last EP that came out. This is Slippery Slope.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard the latest release from Merpire, I knew I had to share it with you. I think Merpire may have appeared as far back as the second edition of Playback when we're celebrating great female songwriters in this country. That's her second single. It's called Hauntways and will be a part of a new EP that will be coming out soon. She's teamed up with Luke Davison of The Preachers on drums and the production guitar skills of Alex Benison, who's worked with the likes of Megan Washington and Jack River. And her song Hauntways has a great story to it as well. It is anchored around a fleeting kiss, an experience that Rhiannon, a.k.a. Merpire, was unable to lock in as a song until the moment she stood in a hallway where the said fleeting kiss took place. And suddenly that song came to life. I love stories like that. It's almost like the spirit of that moment has imbibed itself within the tune. Now, she'll be touring to showcase this new single and other new tunes after a successful year touring with Ainsley Wills. She'll be playing and launching the single. If you're in Melbourne, Thursday, the 1st of March, she'll be playing at the Grace Darling Hotel in Collingwood. March 3rd in Sydney at Wayward's in Newtown, just to name a few. Keep an eye out for the name Merpire, and I hope you enjoyed that single. We started out with the music of Golden Ruff, and as I said at the time, it was almost not so much a joke, but it was a fun band. It was a band that were playing the songs of other artists that they love, but quickly started to write their own music, and in fact ended up being the backing band for an artist whose music I really love, in Joe Panisse, when he toured around the country. In fact, they cover a Gene Clark tune on their last EP with Joe Panisse, and we heard the track Slippery Slope from their EP, and of course other great releases from Golden Ruff, if you remember them, was their album Provenance in 2002, and their first album came out in 98 called Twin Furs. This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. I'm Paul Gough. You can hear us right around the country and wherever you are listening. It's great to have your company. If you'd like to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. pp at pimpod.com. PP at pimpod, PIMPOD.com is how you can send me a message. Let me know who you are and I'll give you a shout out. Okay, this next artist is no stranger. Of course, occasionally we like to dig through the archives and find groups that you may not have heard before. But the name Sarah Blasco is pretty high up in pop knowledge of Australians, I would suggest. And the good news is she has a new album coming out very soon. It's called Depth of Field. And this song, I have to say, again, is another great example of why Sarah Blasco is so popular. This tune is called A Shot.
Up with the words.
Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. And that was a tune I played for Jenny, who's listening to the program from Noosa Head, specifically Sunrise Beach. Thanks for reaching out, Jenny. I'm glad you enjoy listening to Playback. She wanted to hear the music of Sally Seltman. Of course, Sally made so many great albums under the name New Buffalo in the early noughties through to 2009, and then released an album under her own name, Heart That's Pounding. And I've chosen a track from that release. We heard Dream About Changing, a very catchy tune from Sally Seltman, who over time has also teamed up with Sarah Blasco and Holly Throsby as a part of Seeker, Lover, Keeper. And another reason why I played her back-to-back with the great Sarah Blasco, whose new album's coming out February 23rd, Depth of Field, is the title of the album. We heard the first single, A Shot, and it's a follow-up to her ARIA Award-winning release, Eternal Return, which saw her really become fascinated with synthesizers and a great collection of pop tunes. And so I thought that was a good duo to play together. And I look forward to hearing more from Sarah Blasco's new album. And, of course, Sally Seltman's got a lot of music you can go back and check out. This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. Now, speaking of ARIA winners, we have a guest on the program now who I caught up with way, way back when I went to the Big Sound Festival in Brisbane. I spoke to lots of different people. And because we spoke so extensively about his new album, and at the time that new album only had one single that had just been issued, I thought I'd hang on to my chat with Alex Gow, a.k.a. Oh Mercy. His album that came out, When We Talk About Love, really was one of my favourite albums, and I was glad to see that it won the ARIA for Best Adult Contemporary, although I think that category left Alex scratching his head a little. Not that he was unappreciative of winning such an award. But the album that is due to come out on March the 9th, Cafe Oblivion, sees a very different Oh Mercy, a very happy Alex Gow. He's a relaxed chap. I was lucky enough to speak to him on a previous occasion, and I found someone who loves literature, who's unpretentious, is a very talented musician. When I saw him play at Big Sound, he stepped on stage with a bunch of friends who hadn't really played together until that night. I mean, they'd had a very quick session leading into the performance. But such was the bond of friendship and such was the musical talent on display that they absolutely rocked it on that occasion. And that speaks volumes not only of Alex's ability to command the stage, but when you hear his music, you'll know that he's a very talented songwriter as well. Let's start with a track, though, from his last album, and then we'll hear a snippet of a couple of tracks from his soon-to-be-released Cafe Oblivion. This is Oh Mercy and Without You.
My senses are shot, my baby's gone, and nothing works out right without you. Without you. Oh. Oh, bets are off, I'm out of luck, even the pity. Seven. I'm stuck with Lady Luck, but she don't remember my name without you. Without you. I used to feel
Great track there from Oh Mercy, Without You, from his album When We Talk About Love. We chatted on a hotel balcony. It's slightly noisy. It was a balmy day and we were both enjoying the weather after both having experienced an incredibly cold series of days in our respective hometowns. I began by welcoming him to Playback. Well, thank you and welcome to the program. Congratulations, because the last time we spoke, you had just released your album When We Talk About Love, which is an album I've loved and played over and over and over. And, of course, since the time we spoke, up popped another ARIA nomination and up popped the big one. You got the award. That must have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, the ARIA has been really good. It's something that friends and family recognise, you know. It's like, you know, you turn up to Christmas and you see your mum's side of the family is about a billion of them Irish Catholics, and you have to explain to them what you've been up to, and there's something like an ARIA. I don't know why I've gone straight to Christmas, but I really feel like that's the clincher for me. It's like, I want an ARIA, and so now they understand what I do. They recognise that it's currency, that's in their vocabulary. And since that happened, it's just been like a little bit easier to talk about what I do with people. Some of my muso mates turn their nose up at it. It's been really good, and it sits proudly on my mantelpiece. The category was adult contemporary, which is funny. You know, I'm still in my 20s, but you know, Paul Cowley was in that category, so I was with good company. Yeah, it's made conversations easier. It looks cool, but that's about it.
You're right. I mean, you know, what it does show is, I mean, and I guess this is true of a lot of musicians. And what I was about to say is that you've worked really hard, so you deserve it. But there are a lot of musicians that work really hard and have written really great songs, and it doesn't come to them. And yet they've got to go to the Christmas parties and still suffer the indignities of, oh, what do you do?
Exactly right. And there are so many great albums put out that year by my friends who, you know, definitely deserve the recognition as well. And hopefully some form of recognition comes to the people that I have in mind, because, yeah, we do work really, really hard in music, and for something that essentially is quite a bizarre, you know, thing to concentrate on. You know, the idea of plucking strings and melodies and putting words to them and singing them and then arranging them and getting your friends to play with you, then booking the flights and then the hotels and then this and then that, and then here we all are, you know, struggling to buy a decent dinner. Or, you know, all my mates were up here, were staying on people's couches and on the floors while the industry dudes are in the hotels and stuff. It's really weird, and we work really hard, and yeah, some recognition is definitely deserved by lots of people that aren't getting it.
A snippet there of a new track, the first single from Cafe Oblivion that came out around about 5 or 6 months ago now from Oh Mercy, called National Park. And I spoke to Alex about the song. And what I like about it, it's a builder. It, you know, after that first, I guess the first part of the song, I'm expecting it to kick in a bit harder, but it slowly takes you on this journey, and by the end it's there, you know, all the strings, it sounds really great. But I love the lyric in it, and it's almost like the inverse of A Boy Called Sue by Johnny Cash, because it's looking, there's a line in there talking about how can you give a girl a boy's name. Tell me the story behind it.
Well, the story, I don't know if I should really talk too deeply about it.
You don't have
that's
to.
That's okay.
No, that's it. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and sorry to cut in on you, but who wrote a very personal song, and I asked her about, you know, revealing herself, and did she think about the fact that people are going to ask her about this? And she said, actually, I hadn't. And I think that's the thing, you know, people write music, and sometimes, you know, I never used to even really delve into songs, you know, but when I heard that line, it sort of made me interested. Yeah, so sure. Feel free not to if you don't want to.
I'll skirt around it. It's true what you said. Like, I write lots of songs, and some of them stick and some of them don't, and so I never really gave... I don't really give any of them much thought once I've finished it. I just move on to the next one, and it's just funny how some stick, and then there's some lyrics within those ones that stick out even further, and all of a sudden there's a spotlight on this kind of thing that I didn't think twice about. I wrote like a year and a half ago. Anyway, this particular song's was inspired by a line in a Richard Brautigan book that I really like, and there's something like he described his lover as being so beautiful that if the ad men had their way, they would have, you know, turned her into a national park and sold tickets at the door kind of thing, and I got thinking about that, and I went to Sri Lanka to play cricket with this charity cricket team that I play with, and was reading that book and thinking about this particular person who is, you know, a stunningly beautiful womanly woman with a hilarious, like, little boy's name. Like, and I was thinking about that, and I wrote those words, and I came home and put them to music, and that's that, really. And the interesting thing about that song for me is that there's no chorus. Yeah. Like, it's just two chords. It's like a G to a C, and I looped it on my computer, because I made most of this record in my bedroom. We can talk about that later if you like. And I just had the lyrics that I wrote when I was in Sri Lanka, which I wrote waiting for a train, and I just kind of sung them over the top of this two-chord loop that I made, and, you know, the song didn't really change much after that. And that's why there's no chorus, it's just the words from the top to the end.
The one thing I wonder, you know, is with the last album, you get the aria. Yeah. Does that change in a way? Like, is there a fear, or is there a more confident sort of approach to producing the next album?
I can kind of understand why you might be curious about that, but I don't know if it's going to make great radio, but it's just like, you know, I'm a labourer for money. That's what I do. It's like, music doesn't make me money. I just enjoy making it because it's my passion and it's what I've practiced and it's what I'm good at. So, like, for me, winning the ARIA was cool, but the next day I was back at work digging holes and have been since. And so, like, I don't really have the privilege of building up a mountain of anxiety around a new record, and I just get on with it. Like, it's the thing that I do for fun, so it hasn't been something that I've, like, I haven't had any kind of existential, like, ideas about what it means. My thing is just, like, I've always just tried to, this is quite pompous, I understand this, but I always think about my legacy and I want to just improve on it every single time. So that's the only kind of thought that I give to it. So I'll make a better record than the last one and the one before that. Just so when your grandkids listen to you, their granddad's music, they can tell that granddad really gave us stuff. You know, that's all I ever kind of think about. And I'm digging holes and pushing wheelbarrows, so it's like, I don't have that time.
You said, though, you've demoed or you made a lot of the album at home, so that sounds like it was a different process to earlier releases.
That's true. I saved up my doll money for a year, like some of it, and bought some recording equipment. I thought of it as my own personal music grant. I bought like a modest recording setup for my home, and it just meant that I could skip the demoing process essentially. So if I had an idea for a song, I could record that idea, and the information that I recorded, it was of a quality that it could be used in the final version of the song. So you're kind of skipping that weird like middle ground of the demo, which is a purgatory to be avoided at all costs, because it always, the first recording always has some kind of something special about it. So I recorded it all in my bedroom, but at the very end of the process, after I'd selected the songs to go on the album, I went into a proper studio and did the drums and the bass, and I got some of my favourite players in to do that, to play my parts, but like much better than I could. I played all the instruments on When We Talk About Love, and when I listened to it, I could just hear all my inadequacies on the drums and bass, so it was so fantastic to get some of my favourite musos in. Donny Benet played the bass, and Lawrence Pike played the drums. Yeah, and then Scott Horscroft, who mixed it like he did the previous one, and I just got to kind of, all the hard work was done for me, so I just got to sit in the studio and listen to those guys playing over my songs. It was marvellous. It was really fun.
Great tune from a great artist. We heard If You Come Around Tonight from Oh Mercy, the album When We Talk About Love. He's our guest today on Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. And I asked him to share a little about the new album that's coming out March 9, Cafe Oblivion.
The way that I look at this album, which is a weird sentence, but the way that, yeah, that I look at this album is that it's me at my most comfortable yet. Yeah, I wasn't travelling and I wasn't, like, corrupting myself and I wasn't intentionally pulling the rug out, and there was no heartache involved in this one. There was no, like, travel. I was grounded, like, kind of literally and emotionally by the fact that I was just labouring. I was digging holes, pushing wheelbarrows, and I was at home. And I was feeling comfortable, and I was content, you know, emotionally, and I didn't have anything to prove to anyone, which has been part of my motivation prior. I was like, I want to prove that you think I'm that guy? Well, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm not that guy. I'm this guy. And then when they think I'm that guy, I'll go, whoa, I'm not that guy. No, I'm this guy, or I'm whatever I want to be. But this time, I was just like, I was reading books and I was feeling fit and I was healthy and I was home and I was just really comfortable, and I think you can hear that. I think the good thing that I hope I've achieved is that that's translated into a sense of playfulness in the way that I'm writing. The lyrics are a bit more playful, and I'd like to think that the musicianship is a bit more playful as well. You know, I feel like I'm in a good place, and when I listen to it, I can hear that guy. He's just being playful and comfortable. There's a bit more, I guess you call it lead guitar playing. Traditionally, I play the acoustic, and I have very, very simple melodies on the electric guitar. But this time around, I've felt a little bit looser, and had a bit more fun with some of the like lead guitar parts. I think that whole playful thing is really obvious. It's called Cafe Oblivion. I've wanted to call all of my albums Cafe Oblivion, and I hadn't written one that was playful enough to fit it, you know? So this time I started with the title and just wrote the music for the title.
I love that. I love the fact that you've held on to this for so long, waiting for the right time, and now's the time, which is good, which also suggests you're in a good place.
Yeah, totally. And the cover art is funny to me. It's got me on it for the first time. But yeah, this time I got my friend Melissa Fulton, who's this photographer in Melbourne, to take my portrait for the cover, and it's funny. I can't wait for people to see it.
Well, with the title and just hearing that, yeah. I can't wait either. Alex, a.k.a. Oh Mercy, thank you so much for your time.
It's good to chat with you again. Thank you.
keeps the light on.
Is the second single from Oh Mercy. It's called Keep a Light On, and the release coming up March 9 is Cafe Oblivion. And I hope you enjoyed my chat with him, as I said, on a slightly noisy, very hot day in Brisbane at Big Sound. And it was great to chat with Alex about his musical vision and about the process. And what I really loved is the discipline that he has as a musician and the way he views it. And he's not someone, as I said, that is haughty or thinks that he's special in any way because of what he's doing. He does it because he has to. And that's the kind of music that I always find is good to listen to. You're tuned to Playback, heard right around the country. I'm Paul Gough. Another actor I really love, who I think create really incredible music as a part of the Australian landscape, whose stories are so important, who are soaked with history and have a fascinating edge to them, is the music of the Orb Weavers and their last album, Deep Leads. I was lucky enough to see them play songs from that release in Melbourne, and the thing that was fascinating was Marita Dyson of the group is incredibly funny. In between each song, she held the audience captivated with long stories explaining tunes about slugs and ferns and goodness knows what, but all of them have an important place within the Australian landscape, the way they trace waterways, the way they trace tales that have been hidden. Well, the Orb Weavers, in fact, Marita and I sat down for a bit of a chat, and so long-winded was our discussion, it's going to take me a long time to edit it. It was around about an hour that we spoke for. But if you want to hear them play and you're close to Melbourne, or you're planning to be close to Melbourne on February the 11th, it's a Sunday, then I recommend you go to this little venue called the Post Office Hotel in Coburg. I've been there to see a couple of bands play. It's a great afternoon. It's full of families, kids running around, people just enjoying getting together and listening to good music. And the Orb Weavers will be playing two sets on the afternoon of February 11. I don't think I'll be able to go. I wish I could. And they'll be playing tracks from their album Deep Leads, as well as from their previous albums Loom and Graphite Diamonds. It's a free show, so if you're in Melbourne, go and check out the Orb Weavers. Let's hear a track now from their last album Deep Leads, and then at some point I'll bring you an excerpt at least of our chin wag, which is probably a better way of describing the discussion with the excellent Marita Dyson of the Orb Weavers. This from their album Deep Leads. This is Cyclamen.
I will stay these winter days with cyclamen as torches, beacons against the grey weather.
You've been listening to Playback, the music there of the Orb Weavers, Stuart Flanagan and Marita Dyson, and the track Cyclamen. That's all we have time for on this edition of Playback. Get in touch, pp@pimpod.com. For the playlist, head to playback.apraamcos.com.au and you'll see all the details of this episode. We leave you with our theme group for today in the Bamboos. This one to close out is Avenger. I'll speak to you soon.
I don't wanna get caught up again. just too old.